Welcome to Sharing the Victory, the weekly radio program from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the heart and soul in sports. We have three special guests today. Nashville Predators goalie Dan Ellis.
It's through the struggles that you actually learn to really live, because anyone can live well when they're having success, but it's through the difficulties that you really learn to turn things around.
Former Olympic gold medal swimmer Josh Davis.
And God had used those moments in FCA as little seeds of truth that finally came to fruition at that season of my life.
And former college football coach Brian McNeely.
As Christians, as people who are followers of Christ, it is our opportunity to give, to go, or to disobey. I don't think there's any other options.
It's time to get Sharing the Victory underway. Here's your host, University of Nebraska assistant football coach Ron Brown.
Hey, it's great to have you with us today on Sharing the Victory. Our first guest is Dan Ellis, the goalie for the Nashville Predators in the National Hockey League. You know, this has been a tough year for Dan. He had to share playing time with another goalie, and Nashville just missed the playoffs for the first time in several seasons. But Dan Ellis is the kind of guy that thrives during times of trial. I asked him how he uses his talents and gifts in hockey to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
You know, I think there's a lot of different ways as an athlete that you can help advance the kingdom. You know, be it talking to your teammates who really don't know Christ, and you can, you know, be just someone to listen to, someone that's not going to judge them, but that's someone that they can trust in, that if they have an issue with any type of addiction, or if they have a problem at home, or if they just have questions about the Bible, I think, you know, there's a lot of ways that that you can stand apart and be a comfort to many people. So, you know, there's that way, and then there's also, you know, the kids that maybe look up to you, being a good role model, being someone that maybe doesn't fit the norm of a professional athlete, that has a little something different to them and a little special characteristic. And, you know, so those are the type of things that I think you try to focus on as an athlete and advancing the kingdom.
We're talking to Dan Ellis, the outstanding goaltender for the Nashville Predators in the NHL. And in defining success, you know, whether you go to the playoffs or you don't make the playoffs, or you receive an award personally for what you do or not, or you have a game where they score six goals on you, or another one where you get a shutout, how do you define success in the Lord? How do you see the Lord and how he sees success versus man's opinion?
Well, I think that's one of the things that so many people do get caught up with, is they get caught up in results. I think one of the things that you learn as a Christian, as you read the Bible and as you apply different things, and actually when you go through struggles, it's through the struggles that you actually learn to really live, because anyone can live well when they're having success, but it's through the difficulties that you really learn to turn things around. And you just have to learn to look at success as you're doing your part, and you trust that whatever shortcomings that you have in that God will take care of the rest, that no matter whether you make the playoffs or not, if you gave everything you had, you have to trust that God has a superior plan, that maybe it was your plan and your goal and your focus to make the playoffs, but maybe, you know, God is allowing someone else to make the playoffs because that's going to help change their life, or there's, you know, you're missing the playoffs because you need something to learn to make you a better athlete, a better person, a better Christian for the future. So there's a constant struggle, because especially in professional sports, you know, you're playing the sport to make a living, and it gets so easy to look at the results side of things and focus on making sure that you're winning, and if you're winning, then you're finding other ways to change things. But I think as you step back as a Christian, you realize that certain losses and certain difficulties are coming to mold your character, to show your example, and to show other people how you deal with adversity and how you deal with things from a Christian standpoint when things aren't going your way. And sometimes that's a greater example than standing as the champion of the league.
You know, Dan, you won the Saving Grace Award over a year ago as the NHL's top goaltender. I don't know if hockey really understands what they're talking about when they say saving grace, but that's a very biblical term. I wanted to ask you about the spiritual climate in professional hockey today. I mean, are there a lot of believers? Do you have Bible studies? What goes on spiritually, you know, like in terms of off the ice, where guys can grow in their faith in the Lord Jesus?
Well, you know, actually, Christianity isn't a real big thing in hockey. You don't have it in the same way that you would, you know, football. You see in football, you see prayer circles, you see people, you know, getting together, you see lots of athletes that have books out. In hockey, you really don't see it a lot. It's almost more of a private thing. It's something that isn't that common. I know this year we have a chaplain that comes and works with us through Hockey Ministries International, and he comes about every 2 weeks. His name is Pike Williams. He does an outstanding job just breaking down the Bible and making things practical. And really, there's only myself and one other guy or two other guys even on our team of 25 players that will attend these type of services. You know, other people are, some want to look into it, some have questions about it, but there's not really a lot of Christians that I've found in all the years and all the teams that I've played on. There's generally been, you know, maybe at most five on a team of 25. So being a Christian on teams like this, it is very different. It is challenging because in sometimes you might be the only Christian. So you, in a way, you feel a little bit on an island. But in the same sense, those are opportunities for you to grow. God puts you in those certain places because he knows that you can handle those things. He wants you to learn how to handle those things. So, you know, there's not a lot of Christianity, but little by little, it's becoming known a little bit more, you know, who the Christians in the league are, the Shane Doans and the Jerome Aginlas and Dan Hamhuis and guys like that. Some are coming more and more out of the woodwork, which I think will also breed maybe a new confidence, an example to players who maybe have questions. Because a lot of times people don't want to go somewhere when they don't know if anyone else is there. You know, but once you see that there's more Christians out there and that some of those guys that are Christians are some of the biggest competitors in the league, people that you wouldn't ever think that they're Christians because the way they play the game so aggressively. You know, most people think that if you're a Christian, you're going to be a wimp and that you're not going to have any strength or anything like that. But really, it's almost the opposite. You see a lot of Christians are the real warriors, the real workhorses of the league. And, you know, I think that example is going to help move Christianity in hockey a long way.
Well, you know, you're talking our language here, baby. That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, Dan, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make a call to the masses of people that are listening to this show right now. If God has inspired you through what Dan Ellis has said, that would be a great prayer item for the National Hockey League. If some of you have a passion for hockey, I would like you to get on your knees and commit to maybe praying daily or weekly for the NHL, that God would reveal himself in the presence of Jesus Christ on teams through men like Dan Ellis and some of the other Christian guys that he talked about. And God, through prayer, will move mountains and he will open hearts. Dan, first of all, we just want to thank you for being on the show. And secondly, just keep saving for the Lord Jesus Christ, not only for your team, but also for the Lord Jesus Christ with souls. We just appreciate you being on Sharing the Victory today. God bless you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Our guest today, Dan Ellis, outstanding goaltender for the Nashville Predators in the NHL. Since we've been talking about hockey, I got some hockey giveaways for you. 5 FCA hockey t-shirts. I love them, man. They are long-sleeved, long-waisted. They're fun to wear. Give us a call right now at 866-788-5031, and we'll put your name in the hat or the goalie mask, and draw 5 winners to receive the FCA hockey t-shirt. Here's the number again, 866-788-5031. That's 866-788-5031. By the way, FCA Hockey has some outstanding hockey clinics coming up this summer in Maryland, Minnesota, and Omaha, Nebraska. So when you call, we'd love to give you more information about the clinics and FCA Hockey in general. Next segment, we're going to melt the ice and get to water. A guy who's won a bunch of Olympic medals in swimming, Josh Davis, will be with us next on Sharing the Victory.
You love sports, and you love reading about sports, but your favorite sports publication seems to have become little more than a fantasy league report. Enter Sharing the Victory magazine. Published 9 times a year by the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Sharing the Victory gives you in-depth articles on some of today's most popular Christian athletes and coaches, as well as stories of FCA's impact around the world. You'll also get STV's cutting-edge 2-page poster highlighting one of the magazine's featured athletes. Order your subscription today at sharingthevictory.com. Here's a quick hit from San Francisco Giants pitcher Jeremy Affeld.
I make sure when I get up in the morning that I get into the Bible, man. I got to read the Word of God. A lot of how he talks to us is definitely through Scripture. And for me, to build myself up and meditate day and night on that Word, man, that's where success comes from. And he knows the heart of all men, so you don't have to lie, you don't have to be afraid of him, you don't have to try to hide what's really happening.
Quick hit from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Welcome back to Sharing the Victory. I'm Ron Brown, your host. It's time for FCA Across America. Josh Davis, former Olympic swimmer, is with us. He won 3 gold medals in the 96 Olympics and 2 silver medals in 2000. He spoke earlier this year at the FCA Road to Victory Banquet in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Here's Josh Davis giving his testimony and giving us an idea of what life was like for him when he entered the University of Texas.
I entered college at 17 years old. And I was going to go to bed whenever I want. I was going to eat whatever I want. I was going to do whatever I want. I was going to be free. But you know what happened? I got to college, and I was like a chicken with my head cut off. I was going to swim real fast, and I was going to make good grades. And on a campus of 50,000 people, that means there's 25,000 girls, and I wanted to meet all of them. And I was just going crazy. Here I was, a disciplined young person, almost straight A's. But when I got to college, I found myself not having much freedom at all. I fell into the 3 D's of the freshman year. I was drinking too much, I was making bad decisions, and I had dysfunctional relationships. I was so clueless. I really didn't have much freedom at all. I became enslaved to bad decisions and drinking and doing whatever anybody else was doing just so I could fit in because I lacked character and substance. I needed something in my life because God allows us, you know, God allows us to go through circumstances to teach us. And I swam pretty good. I made pretty good grades, and thankfully I was swimming pretty good. Swimming was my God, basically. When I was swimming good, I felt pretty good. But at the end of my freshman year, we were training hard, and then we were partying hard, and then we're studying hard for finals. And by the time school got out, May 15th, I was so sick from treating my body so hard that I went home and laid in bed, sick as a dog. And I realized that I needed true freedom. Can I give you the definition of true freedom? See, true freedom is the ability to make the right decision whenever you want, regardless of what anybody else is doing around you. That's real freedom. I needed real wisdom, real power, and real freedom to make good decisions. I didn't have the power to do it. And even if I did know, I don't think I had the power to do it anyway. So I realized I needed something more. And God allowed me to go through a bottom-of-the-barrel experience where I kind of had to look up. And I was laying in bed, sick as a dog, for a couple of weeks, and God used that time to really whisper into my heart. And it's not because I'm smarter or holier. I really believe it's God gave me the strength and courage to respond to His truth. And this is the thought that came into my mind. I thought, you know, God created me, so He knows how I best operate, so surely I can trust Him with every area of my life. God created me. He knows how I best operate. So maybe I can trust Him with every area of my life, and He can make something beautiful in my life because what I was doing wasn't working. And you know where I got that thought? Because every Wednesday night, I would go to FCA because there was this really pretty girl there. I had a class on Wednesday night, so I had to come in late to FCA, and I would kind of sit in the back and stare at her. But through those meetings, they were sharing the gospel. They were sharing the power and the reality of the Bible. And God had used those moments in FCA as little seeds of truth that finally came to fruition at that season of my life, at the end of my freshman year. And I thought, you know, Jesus is not a liar. He's not a lunatic. He's not a legend. He's exactly who He says He is. He is Lord of the universe. And I need to make Him Lord of my life today.
Wow, that was former Olympic champion swimmer Josh Davis speaking at an FCA banquet in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Next segment, he's back. Former major college football coach Brian McNeely, next on Sharing the Victory.
Not only is SharingTheVictoryRadio.com the place to listen to past programs and subscribe to receive the free podcast, SharingTheVictoryRadio.com is also the place that links you to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes to learn more about how God is using the largest sports ministry in the world. Also, you'll get access to the online version of Sharing the Victory magazine. Check us out today at SharingTheVictoryRadio.com. That's SharingTheVictoryRadio.com.
When it comes to my sport and my faith, I can reach higher. I can dig deeper. I can grow inside out. You can too. Find out how FCA Camps can help you reach your full potential.
FCA Camps, a time of inspiration and perspiration for athletes and coaches. To learn more, call 866-269-2267. Again, 866-269-2267 or go to fcacamps.org. That's fcacamps.org. Sharing the Victory Radio is online anytime at sharingthevictoryradio.com. Now back to Ron Brown.
As mentioned, we're bringing him back this week. He's a good friend of mine, a great college football coach. Now he's the president and founder of a ministry organization called Global Refuge International. His name is Brian McNeely. Brian, welcome to Sharing the Victory.
Ron, thanks for having me back.
Well, you bet, Brian. I mean, a fascinating story. You know, we left it last week with the fact that God had rocked your world. And as while you were coaching football and teaching a Bible study for kids in Colorado, you recognized the shallowness that we were living in spiritually and how far short we were from really living out the fullest expression of the Great Commission and the gospel. And, Brian, God began to do something in your life where you had a heart for genocide, you know, the people that have been struck with the disenfranchisement of killing and mass murder, and you went over to Burma, took some students with you, and your life was forever changed. Now, Brian, you came back to the States after that, and you coached football some more, and and tell us what happened, because it was an interesting game between Nebraska and Colorado in 2001. I was on Nebraska staff at that time, too. We were undefeated. We were 11-0 going into Colorado, heavy favorites to win the game, and you guys blew our doors off that day. Tell us what was going on after that game for you. A big win for you, but something wasn't right inside.
Well, Ron, as you know, and for those that have followed Nebraska football, Nebraska had just a wonderful football team, and something that we aspired to do was always beat Nebraska and couldn't. But we came back, and obviously after this trip to in the summer, now we're just a month or two later, 3 months later, and I couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't get past the images I saw, and it wasn't like post-traumatic some kind of syndrome. It was strictly that God was working on my heart. You got to do something about this. Well, you come back in, we worked on the isolation play, all the things you got to do, and we get into the game, you know, and we obviously were having a pretty good year, and it came down to you guys were undefeated at the time, and we were playing to win 10 or something like that, and we did. We had a very good, successful game in that particular time, and we had a big win for us, and potentially maybe the biggest win, and for sure over Nebraska, the biggest win in Colorado history. And I remember standing on the field, and I'm standing beside Gary Barnett, my head coach, and deservedly he was excited and pumped up, and all I could think about was this little girl that I had seen on the in the last day that we were in the jungle with these people that we were working with, and I couldn't get as excited as I needed to be, and I kept saying to myself, well, God, is this not what you want me to do? Is this not what you want me to do? And so from that point in time on, life changed for me. I still coached. I mean, but normal was over. I could not think about football in the environment of how valuable it was. Football is valuable. It teaches a lot of wonderful lessons, and people are called to do that, and that's awesome. But for me on that day, it was over. So I ended up leaving that program just a month later after we played in the Fiesta Bowl, got spanked by Oregon, and we left, and I moved to the University of Indiana. I needed a change to see if, in fact, this is what God wanted me to do, or was it something emotionally I was tied into. I went. I spent 2 years to the day, my commitment, at Indiana, and I resigned for this reason, because I knew that somebody needed to help these people, and there was nobody there helping them when I was there before, and life couldn't be the same. God calls us to be the hands and feet of Christ. He calls us to be a refuge for these people, but no one was doing it. And I felt like I was going to church, I was sitting in a safe place, and that was all I was doing. And I was teaching Bible studies, but that still wasn't enough. And so I decided to quit my profession at that point, walk away from the salaries as they were, the security of the job, and start an organization that would spend the rest of its life working to save these people in persecution areas and show the love of Christ by how we take care of them and treat them and how we respect them with dignity in a place in their life where they have none.
Wow. We're talking to Brian McNeely, former college football coach, who's now the president and founder of this organization he's been talking about, Global Refuge International, just wanting to affect these battered lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the loving touch of compassion that Christ has to offer. Brian, tell us, where do you go now from this?
You know, in coaching, because we're so busy, and sometimes we think we're busier than we are, and we insulate ourselves from the rest of the world, and we believe that coaching sometimes is as important as what's going on in Gaza right now, that kind of thing. I felt like that I needed to come back and give the opportunity to some coaches to see what I saw. Because where in their life do they get to see this? You know, I mean, they're not gonna see it unless somebody intentionally makes an effort. Mm-hmm. God calls us all to be a part of the Great Commission, all of us, mm-hmm. coaches, people that are not coaches. And so my goal is to educate some coaches, give them the opportunity to be a part of some of the work we're doing, and especially in our Central Africa work.
Well, Brian, we can't do justice for what you're doing here on the radio just because we don't have the time. But one thing we can do is we can share your website. It's globalrefuge.org. Now, I want to encourage you out there, if you are listening, to check this website out. So, Brian, I just want to thank you for being obedient. I mean, God gave you that call in the midst of your cushy coaching world,
right.
and you saw beyond what was happening on a field that is 100 by 52. You were looking at something far greater. You were looking into the depths of what God wants us all to see, right. A world that's starving, not just for food and clothing, but mostly for a Savior.
Absolutely. And I would encourage everyone to take a look, not just at Global Refuge, but any organization. Mm. Step out of the comfort zone. Don't be content to let somebody else do it. We need the help. Other organizations need the help. As Christians, as people who are followers of Christ, it is our opportunity to give, to go, or to disobey. I don't think there's any other options. Oh. And so you either find some organization to be a part of and give, or go yourself, go somewhere, go to your neighbor. Get out of your house. Get out of the comfort of where you sit today. Reach out for Christ. Be his hands and feet. Be a part of organizations like ours and other organizations. But do something. It's not permissible to sit and let somebody else do it.
Mm. Awesome word, Brian. Thanks for being with us today and sharing the victory. My guest today has been Brian McNeely, former college football coach and now the founder and president of Global Refuge International. Brian, thanks for being with us and sharing the victory.
Ron, thank you very much for having me.
And again, for those of you who are interested, and I hope there's a bunch of you that are, Brian's website is globalrefuge.org. Next up, our FCA president, Les Deckel, with Coach's Corner. Are values taught or caught? Les will have an answer next on Sharing the Victory.
Serving.
Integrity.
Teamwork.
Excellence.
These are the core values of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Get an in-depth look at each value from select contributors such as Tony Dungy, John Wooden, Laura Wilkinson, John Kitna, Betsy King, and Les Deckel. The first two books, Serving and Integrity, are available now at FCA.org. This book series will be an excellent resource for high school, college, and professional athletes and fans at all levels. The Core Values book series, available at FCA.org. Mark Richt at Georgia and Bobby Bowden at Florida State are two of the most famous coaches in college football. But next weekend on Sharing the Victory, you'll hear from their wives as they talk about football and motherhood. And what is it like to be a mother while being married to an NFL coach? Chris Steckel, the wife of FCA President Les Steckel, will fill us in. Don't miss this special Mother's Day edition of Sharing the Victory.
Hey, good to be back with you. Ron Brown, your host here on Sharing the Victory. It's time for Coach's Corner with FCA President Les Steckel.
Baseball is a great sport. It's true that football has recently passed baseball as being America's favorite sport. However, baseball's long and rich history and the fact that most everyone at some time in their life has played baseball or softball makes it still a really popular sport. Baseball is one of the most complex and documented sports, filling volumes of statistical records. But at its core, baseball is fundamentally a game of throw and catch, or pitch and catch. In that way, baseball is like life itself. There are ideas, concepts, values, perspectives, and theories presented or thrown your way every hour of every day, whether you realize it or not. Think about what you've already seen or heard so far today, from family, friends, or in the media. Some of it you've caught or agreed with. Some of it may have been something you disagreed with. And quite frankly, bat it out of your thinking zone. Some of it may have been knocked away by you, but caught and embraced by someone else. I don't want to stretch this analogy too far, but I've been thinking a lot again recently about how values are transferred to others. As parents, businessmen, or in whatever roles God has given you, you have values that are tremendously important to you. These values are so important to you that you want others to share them or at least understand why you consider them essential. These values could be purity, honesty, trustworthiness, or such things as physical fitness, hospitality, or not spending more than you make. It's my hope that I've been successful in imparting my values to my family and others. How do you and I best ensure that happens? What I've observed is that values are really not taught as much as they are caught. Caught as in a rundown, grabbed, held onto, and claimed like a baseball player catching the final out in the seventh game of the World Series. Allow me to share with you something very special to my wife and I. My wife, Chris, and I have always been frugal. We've always had a jar in our home where we've collected our coins to take to the bank when full. We've often explained to our children the value of saving, and they enjoyed going with me to the bank and watching that machine loudly and quickly sort out and count our coins. Now, as we visit our adult children, it's very gratifying to see each of them have their own jars to collect their spare change and deposit in savings. As much as I may have taught that concept, it's more important to know that it was also caught by them. Besides savings, they've caught the principle of tithing. How grateful I am. Today, many Americans spend, some save, and few give. But God's word says to give, then save, and then spend. Saving money and tithing were important values to teach our children. But as Christians, the most important value we need to teach our children is the importance of having a deep, personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thankfully, our children were taught and have caught and have embraced the value of that kind of relationship with Jesus. This is Coach Les Steckel, president of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, encouraging you, like Moses told the people of Israel before they entered the Promised Land, to be sure to teach the values God has revealed to you, to your children and your children's children. Remember, values are caught, not taught.
Thanks, Coach. On next week's program, we're going to celebrate Mother's Day, mothers in the sports world. Remember, there are two ways of doing sports, God's way or man's way. Which will you choose? From all of us here at Sharing the Victory, have a great week in Christ.
It's not too late to enter our drawing to win a free FCA hockey t-shirt. Just give us a call at 866-788-5031. That's 866-788-5031. We'll draw five winners. And if you missed any part of today's program, you can listen online at sharingthevictoryradio.com. Thanks for listening today, and we hope you can join us next weekend. Sharing the Victory is a production of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the heart and soul in sports.